Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the awesome and mighty name of Jesus, thanking you, Lord, that in you, because you are above all, and we're in you, we can be above all and not have to succumb to the things of this world, especially in this day and hour when there's a lot of fear, a lot of heartache going on. But Lord, you're above it. Lord, you're the restorer of our souls. You're the mender of our souls. You're the healer of our lives. And you came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So we thank you, God, that you've called us out of this world. And we thank you, God, that we can walk in kingdom. In Jesus' name. We ended with this teaching on the failure of God's people, how they received the bad report, and because of that bad report, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They were turning against Aaron and Moses. They wanted to stone them. Let's make a captain, and let's go back to Egypt. And remember, the word of the Lord came to Moses, and God said, "Why do these people despise me?" If you remember, the King James said provoke, but when you look up that word in the Hebrew, it meant to despise, to not think of very highly. And you have your notes on that. So let's talk about today. Let's talk about how this all applies to us in this day and time. So we remember in our previous, what we studied, God had given them his word, right? I will do this. I will drive out the inhabitants of the land, the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and all of the ites. He said, I'll drive them out. He told them, I'll go before you. I'll send my angel. Scripture after scripture, and you have those notes to refer to, God gave his word. When God gave his word, he gave his bond. When God gave his word, he gave his guarantee. It was a no-brainer that they were going to win. There was no issue. God said it would happen. And so for us, as you see in the title there, God has given us the word, or he's given us his word in the form of this. And as we have discussed before, many people through eons of time have tried to destroy this. They've tried to exterminate it, and they've not been able to. I just read yesterday, and I get the Christian breaking news, that there was a man who was raised by three gay parents who was raised to hate Christians because, unfortunately, he's seen the wrong side of Christianity, where there were those that hated the gays and they came out and they spoke against them. And he says, if that is the way Christ is and he's the leader of this, I want to have nothing to do with him. And then as he grew older, he went a step further and he decided, I'm taking it upon myself, I'm going to prove that Bible is wrong. Today he's born again. Today he's serving the Lord, you know. And I got a link to his testimony, although I haven't seen it. But he's very compassionate now for those that are lost in those alternate lifestyles. And so his desire is for us to understand what we know. You know, we don't hate the people. We want to love them, and we want to see them brought into kingdom. We want to see them, their lives transposed and changed. We want to see them with that metamorphosis take place in their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. God loves you so much, he's willing to receive you the way you are, but he cares so much, he's not willing to leave you the same way. So he's given us his word. That word cannot be changed. It cannot be done away with. It cannot be altered. It's set in stone. And so let's look at some scriptures here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And if you were to look up that word, if you have your e-sword, the word is logos. And that word logos means sayings. In the beginning was the sayings. Jesus is the express image of God. Jesus spoke. It was Christ, as we see throughout the New Testament, that created. He was the creator. Everything that was made, in fact, it's right here. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we see Jesus Christ. We read in Hebrews that in chapter 1 that Jesus was the express image of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he says, they said, our father is Abraham. And then he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would know who I am, because before Abraham was, I am. He pulled no punches in saying who he was. He knew who he was. He knew where he came from. For us today, we have a surer word from our Father in heaven. They had the word, but the Jesus Christ hadn't come in the Old Testament. He hadn't come yet. So they were always looking forward to the Messiah. But for us, the Messiah has come. We have a Savior. The prophecies have been fulfilled. He came in the flesh to show us the way to live as an overcoming people. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, we're establishing a foundation because we're talking about the fear factor. And we've been talking about how Israel, how they got into fear, where God continually told them, fear not, fear not, fear not, but they were motivated by fear. We're establishing a foundation here. 1 John 2:13 says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Yahoo! He's defeated. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the word right now is, we have overcome. Amen? You're a winner. You're triumphant. Nothing can stand against you. You're victorious. You've as many adjectives as you can figure out, that's you. You've won through Christ, because he's won. He's won, and then he sat down already, and his work is finished. Think about this. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, in fact, let's open up to that real quick. Genesis chapter 2. It says, verse 1, and the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he has made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. Basically, that word rested means to repose. God said, I'm done. Now, I'm sitting. I'm done. Now, but the Bible says when Christ rose from the dead, and he says he ascended into heaven. Let's see if we can find that scripture. I know you guys got your hands greasy there, so. But it says that when he ascended into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God. His work was done. When he was on the cross, hanging, he said, it is finished. His work was done. Now, who's working now?
Us. Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit in us. So our work isn't done yet. But soon our work will be done. So we have things to do. We have things to accomplish. That's the whole purpose of what our ministry is about, is to get you in the spiritual, your soulless shape, so that you can tackle your destiny. Amen. Now, so Jesus sat down. God reposed, put things into motion that will not be changed. Now let's look at the next heading. God's word is alive. We have got to understand how powerful that is. This is what many fail to understand. When God says something, listen closely, there is a creative force behind it, and it must come to pass. When God speaks, God is, isn't he not the creator? When he speaks, he's creating. When he speaks, he's destining things. It has to come to pass. He just doesn't waste words. God is so focused. And remember, he is the end from the beginning. He is. God, and I don't see God having an idle mind. I don't see God sitting and going, oh, it's a nice day today. But he's a creator. When he says things, there is a creative force behind it. Look at Isaiah 55:11. so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. What does void mean?
Empty.
It will not return empty. It's like God sends his word out in a basket, and when it comes back, it's going to be full. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word is infallible. God's word, you can't stop it. Think about this. All the prophecies for the thousands of years about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and all the efforts that Satan made to try to keep the Messiah from coming, to try to contaminate the bloodline of Christ. He couldn't stop it. Once that was set into motion, it was a done deal. Nothing could stop it. That's why, listen close. Do not get caught up in this climate change garbage. Because God, we know in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the earth is reserved. God made it so for a specific purpose. So nobody's going to harm the earth. Nobody's going to destroy the earth until God creates a new heaven and a new earth. They can't. They can't supersede God. There is no force on earth that can supersede the Almighty Creator in his word. They've tried it. They've tried, haven't we? We know they've tried to exterminate God's chosen people. Over and over and over and over again, they've tried to exterminate the Jews. Guess what? They're still here, and they're prospering. And they prosper more and more and more. They haven't received the Messiah yet, but God's got a plan. It has to happen. God does not fail or miss. He's always on time and always accurate. Why? Because he's already seen it. He's already been there. He's already, you know, seen what all's going to happen. The beginning and the end. God is. There's no guesswork. God is not a scientist. He's not experimenting. Is this going to work or not? I don't know. He doesn't experiment. He's the creator. He speaks and it's so. That's why. He's always on time and always accurate. That is why we must trust in the word that has been given to us. Like I just said, many have tried to disprove it. What do you think is the number one discrepancy that people find?
With the Bible?
Yeah.
The lost boats? What do you mean by discrepancy?
There are some discrepancies.
I don't know what that
means. Not errors. The Gospels were written by four different people.
That's what I said.
Four different perspectives. Okay? Let's say all of us were at an accident. Okay? How many people did you see? Oh, about 8 or 12. How many people did you see? Oh, about 15 or 20.
Are you in the circle or outside the circle of healing?
You know? Perspective. What was more important to you? Okay, did you see the accident? Yeah, I seen every detail. Did you see? Well, I seen such and such hit. You know, you seen what spoke to you the most. What was more pertinent to you at that point in time is what you will remember the most. Some people, it wasn't how many people were there. It was maybe the color of clothes that people had. I don't know. But everybody comes from a different perspective. And that is the discrepancy that a lot of people have in the with the Gospels. But they're written from four different perspectives. But they all do harmonize.
I got a question about that.
Yes.
Luke, he never seen Jesus, right? Was with Paul.
Did he or didn't? I don't know. He was, remember.
He wasn't a disciple, right?
He wasn't a disciple, but he was a believer.
Okay.
When did he start believing? I don't know. Was he a follower? Yes, he was a follower.
Okay.
So he had to have been around to see some things.
Right.
You know, to be able to write. So he didn't write from a third-hand perspective. In fact, that's probably why Paul valued him so much in dictating to him and then having him write. That's what most of the consensus is about Hebrews, is that Paul dictated it and then Luke wrote it. In fact, there's some movies that even show that. But he had confidence. And Luke was a smart guy. He was educated, you know. That's why we must trust in the word that has been given to us. I'm talking about the pure word of God. That's why we study. That's why we break it down. We divide it. We dissect it. Because I don't want third and fourth, I don't want regurgitated information. I love getting it from the Holy Spirit, getting it firsthand, and we break it down, we study it. That's why I call it the pure word, because it's unadulterated, it's not contaminated, it's the way that it was written, and it's the way that it was given by the Holy Spirit. The following is what has been written about God's pure word. 2 Peter 1:20. And then we'll be closing here. Are we just on the first page? We sure are. 1 Peter 1:20. 2 Peter 1:20, I'm sorry. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They just didn't sit around and go, well, you know, I think it's time to write a prophecy. Yeah. You know, but they wrote when they were moved by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is inspired by God. That's why we say all scripture is God's word. From Genesis to Revelation. It's all inspired. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Anybody ever been reproved? For correction? Anybody ever been corrected? For instruction in righteousness? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's why we put so much stock in the scriptures. So much stock. Because it is God-breathed. That's why it's to be honored. It's to be respected. It's to be adhered to. A lot of people, you know, not talking about present company, but there's a lot of Christians out there that hold more to a worker's manual than they do the Word of God. Or other things than the Word of God. Lord, help us. So, and the reason that I share this with you, please understand, and I've shared it, and I've said this many, many, many times, is the reason that I share the way that I do is because I want to make you teachers, give you the information that I have, so you, in turn, can be a blessing to others. And you're not left hanging. But we dig. We answer questions. We dig. We dig for truth. We dig. We honor God's word to study, to show ourselves approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. That word dividing means to dissect straight and across. And you're dissecting. Let's pray. Father, we trust in you and your word, and we know that it is alive and that your word is relevant for today. It speaks to us because it's not dead. But as your word tells us in Hebrews 4:12, that it's alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. So we thank you for that word. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust wholeheartedly in that word. Guide us. Teach us. Instruct us. Prepare us. Mature us. By your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.